Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness.
It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out roaming around the campus of Georgia Tech this week, and we're going to send it out to him in just a moment. But first, I wanted to speak to those of you who might be listening to Witness Wednesday for the first time. Maybe this is your first experience with Wretched Radio or Witness Wednesday, and I want to explain a little bit about what you're going to hear today. Every Wednesday, Todd gets out of the studio, and he's usually on a college campus somewhere, and he's talking with students with the ultimate goal, obviously, of sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to eavesdrop on those conversations, and doing so helps us to evaluate and judge Todd. That's number one. But also, it allows us to evaluate our own evangelism tactics and techniques, because we learn through someone else's conversations. You know, what did he do right? What did he do wrong? What should he have pressed on a little more or not as much? That's the purpose of Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And with that, let's get out to the campus now. Todd is on the campus again of Georgia Tech.
There's a kid. Okay. I don't want to stereotype, but this guy looks like a Georgia Tech. If you wanted to find a poster boy for Georgia Tech, this would be the kid right here. He's got himself kind of a brainiac haircut, maybe a pocket protector. Hey, young man, while you're walking, can I talk to you on the radio?
No.
No, you're not up for that, huh?
No, sorry.
All right, dude, carry on. All right, this guy. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I ask you some questions on the radio?
Sure.
You up for that? Are you done with classes?
Nope.
No? Honest?
I got one more test left.
Ugh, which one?
DSP.
Ah,
Digital
DSP.
Signal processing.
You didn't have to tell him. What do you, I look stupid?
Yeah.
What is it?
Digital signal processing.
Help me out. What does it mean?
It's analyzing sinusoids and stuff like that, like in voice and different things that can be applied to many different fields.
All right, I'm just going to bang my head against a wall. What's a sinusoid?
Sine wave, like from zero to pi, and it repeats itself. And
you want to know how dumb I am? As if I haven't already demonstrated it. I don't think I can remember. 22, pi is 22.14 something? 3.14, that's it. Wowza. Oh, this isn't humiliating. That's right, 3.14, and then it goes on forever, right?
Yeah.
Into infinity.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's an unreal.
All right. It's
irrational number. There we go.
I'm guessing right now, you, along with everybody who's listening, thinks I'm just a complete idiot, right?
Probably.
All right, fair enough. But you know what? I think that's good, though. There's guys like you who think the way you think. I think in a different way. And then the whole world gets along.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Jesus Christ, man.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I'm the man.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is the Lord.
I see. And you're sure of that? You're talking now with your sinusoids. What are they called?
Sinusoids?
Yeah, they went to the other end of the spectrum. You said that with certainty.
Yeah.
All right. Prove to me that Jesus is Lord.
Well, I mean, it's something that I've experienced personally.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily something. It's not hard, easy to explain. But I've experienced the Lord working in my life in very real ways. I mean, he's brought me through many hard times in my life. Brought me out of a dark place.
So that would be an anecdote. But if I could go find a Hindu who said the same thing about their little idol that's sitting up on their mantle. So I've got a Christian who says that their idol worked, and a Hindu who says their idol worked. Why should I go for your idol?
Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is that Jesus Christ is either the Savior of the world or the greatest liar on earth. Because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Are you saying then that the Hindu's idol is wrong?
Yes, I am.
Just like that.
Yeah.
So the majority of people in the world, you believe, are wrong.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, they can come, they can probably find some truths within there, but all truth comes from God.
Okay.
So.
All right. I want to give you 30 seconds. Give me your best shot. Convert me. Go.
Well, man, putting me on the spot there. But,
dude, I'm kind of enjoying this because ever since there's got to be something in math that's a 22 something. What am I confusing pi? What's a 20? Isn't there some number that is meaningful at 22?
I know the golden ratio is pretty close to there.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay, go ahead, convert me.
Well, what? This is really kind of sad, but I mean.
I said pi was 22. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
But, because the, I mean, the one thing I just experience it so personally myself, and I would want you to experience it. So.
Experience what?
Just the fullness of life within God.
My life's full, dude.
I mean, but there has to be some, like, everybody, like, struggles with something in their life. I mean,
nope. Doing good. Kids are healthy.
Yeah.
Yep. Wife's terrific. Paying the taxes. Life is good.
Yeah. So you don't see any need for any kind of God?
No.
No? Well, so, all right. I mean, what are your moral scale? What is your moral scale? How do you scale your,
I'm not in jail.
Yeah. So it's basically based on deeds, or like, is it based on the law?
Sure, or just general societal norms of morality. I haven't murdered anybody, haven't stolen anything. You know, good person.
Okay, but for me, like a good person, they still can't get into heaven. Or do you believe in heaven and hell? That's a good question to start off with.
Oh, wait a second. Why wouldn't a good person go to heaven?
Because the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ.
But why? I'm a good person.
Because even though you're a good person, you have slipped up before.
I've slipped up before. What are you slipped up before?
And with sin. I mean, have you ever gone through the Ten Commandments?
Go ahead and use them on me.
I mean, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I mean, have you ever done that ever before?
Good question. Yes.
So with that sin, you become separated from God.
Okay.
And the only way to get back together to God is through Jesus Christ.
What if I give some money to charity?
That's there's some people that believe that, and that's more Jehovah Witness and stuff like that. I mean, there's different people that do believe that, but I don't believe that because that's not biblically what's true. And I believe in the Bible, and I believe what the Bible says is true.
All right. Let me share something with you. What's your first name?
I'm Rex.
Rex, it's nice to meet you. King Rex, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rex, when you got to that law part, rock on. See, a lot of people are going to go to school here, and they're going to graduate, and they're going to get great jobs, and they're going to get huge homes and fancy cars, and they're going to have absolutely no need for God. But when you hit on that law business, that Ten Commandment thing, dude, you found the sweet spot. Because our need isn't a fulfilled life. Our need is forgiveness. That's right. What everybody's lacking. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So use that law, dude. That was excellent. So the next time somebody says, well, why do I name Jesus? Or you're trying to witness to somebody, you don't need to be accusatory. You can actually just open up the law and use it like a mirror to hold it up to somebody's faith. Because we all think we're good.
Right.
And we're self-righteous and arrogant. I'm not as bad as, well, that slug across the street there.
Definitely.
But when you compare people to God's standard, then they can go, okay, I get it. Hell becomes reasonable. And then the sacrifice of Jesus is suddenly esteemed and appreciated because God died for sinners.
Right.
So ask people questions like you did. Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you looked with lust? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It gets everybody in big trouble, okay? Now, if God judged you, what would he give you, heaven or hell? Right. And suddenly it becomes kind of reasonable, and then you can explain good news. God will send you to hell because he's just, but he wants to save you, and he sent his son Jesus to keep all the laws that you broke, and he kept them all. rose from the dead, defeated death, and now you must repent and put your trust in him, and he'll adopt you as his child, and he'll grant you everlasting life based on what Jesus did, not you.
Right.
So, dude, you got there. Use that law when somebody asks you for the hope that lies within you, what the reason is.
Right.
Because you got a savior from sins, not a life enhancer. It's sweet with Jesus. I'm a Christian, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Okay?
It is the abundant life. But people don't need a high. They need forgiveness.
Okay.
And they need to be reconciled to God and restored in their relationship to him. So focus not on the effects of the gospel, but the gospel itself. We get love, joy, peace, patience, etc.
Right.
But that's not the gospel. That's the result of the gospel.
Okay.
The heart of it is sinners saved by Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude, nice to meet you, Rex.
Good to meet you, too.
All right, man. See you. Goodbye.
See you.
Thanks for making me look like a dope. I appreciate it very much.
A lot of evangelism begins with a simple question, and the conversation will take a natural progression. We've got more Witness Wednesday from the campus of Georgia Tech next on Wretched Radio. You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no. Then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. And the reasons are there. Logic, morality, the very laws that make science work, and every single one of them points back to a creator. And when you give kids that, faith stops being something they hope is true and becomes something they know is true. And it also spreads because they share it clearer with everyone around them. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. They need real ground to stand on, not just a good feeling, and that's what Dr. Lyle is doing. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and the tall guy, he's out on the campus of Georgia Tech today. You know, I know we tend to assume that some people don't want to discuss spiritual things. And sometimes that's true, but a lot of times, especially on a college campus, people are willing to talk if somebody's willing to listen.
Hey, young man, could I ask you where you're going right now?
Going to work.
You're going to work. How far do you have to walk?
I guess about a mile down to my
Perfect.
Car.
That's great. Could I talk to you on the radio while we're walking together on your way to work?
Sure.
Now, you gotta promise me something, though. What do you bench these days?
Not that much.
Come on. Oh, don't be all humble. What do you bench? What? Okay, it's your max. What were you putting up?
The max I've ever done is 315.
Okay, so you could basically put me into a pretzel shape right now, right? Did you study any, like, jiu-jitsu or karate?
I've done a couple months of jiu-jitsu and a little Muay Thai. But that's
all right, now they teach you not to use it on people unnecessarily, right?
Well, no. Mine was MMA fighting.
What is that?
It's a mixed martial arts.
Oh, that's the nasty stuff in the cage.
Exactly.
Dude, you're one of those?
No, I wasn't good at it. That's why I stopped.
Did you get beat up a lot?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you got to tell me. How much does it hurt? How much does it hurt in the ring? While you're doing it, does it hurt?
Yes, it hurts.
Okay,
you don't notice it as much just because you have so much adrenaline going.
But right.
The next day when you wake up the following morning, yeah.
You know what? Can you tell me what is the nastiest punch? What hurts the most?
The worst punch that I've ever gotten was just one of the side jaw. I didn't see it coming. Is when I first began. It was right underneath my ear.
Takes you out every time.
And it was terrible the way it twists your jaw and all that.
Yeah, but see, I've learned that when you get hit underneath the ear like that, there's something going on in your brain. It just drops you every single time. Now, here's the punch that really hurts a lot while you're in the ring. You ever been hit in the kidneys?
Yes.
That hurts.
Yes.
All right, now promise me you're not going to hit me in the kidneys, okay?
I promise you.
All right, tell me, young man, what do you believe about the afterlife?
The afterlife.
Yeah, what happens to somebody when they die?
Well, I believe that you're either heaven or hell, going to heaven or hell. And it's only through Jesus, through his forgiveness, that you can get... That's what I believe.
So you're telling me that anybody who's not a Christian is going to hell?
Yes.
No, I want to hurt you. Well, that seems very intolerant.
Not necessarily Christian, but those who don't believe in Jesus. It is highly intolerable, but... Then again, it's not my decision, I guess.
Okay, so why do people go to hell, in your Christian opinion?
Well, everyone is born with sin.
You're calling me a sinner?
Absolutely.
Wow, how do you know?
Well, I'm Catholic. Everyone's a sinner.
I see. Okay, so what if I'm not Catholic? Am I still a sinner?
You're a sinner.
Okay, so then tell me, my Catholic friend, if I'm a sinner, what do I need to do to go to heaven?
Ask Jesus for forgiveness through him, that you can be forgiven of your sins. Now, this is actually where I'm working on this. It's hard, just my beliefs in general, because does that mean you have to ask for forgiveness right before you die? Is that way you're completely clear of sin and then you go to heaven? Or
did you go to Catholic church all your life?
I have. I went to Catholic school, elementary school. Moved to Saudi Arabia for a bit, and then came back and went to a Christian school.
All right. Let me ask you, what's your first name?
Sean.
Sean, could we stop underneath this tree for just a second?
Okay.
I don't want to make you late for work. All right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, okay, we'll go quick. There's a big difference between Catholicism, and you're kind of getting there and hinting, and Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on to the issue. Here's what Roman Catholicism teaches. That you somehow become a Christian, that can happen through your baptism, or you can believe in Jesus and then get baptized, and then you spend the rest of your days trying to do good works, mm-hmm. and if you die without having committed a mortal sin, by getting last rites, and if you will being perfect, then you'll go directly to heaven. If not, you go to purgatory where you work off your sins so that you can ultimately go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not necessarily directly mentioned in the Bible. I mean, it's hinted, I guess.
I agree it's not mentioned in the Bible, but that's the difference between what would be considered biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism, which combines the Bible and tradition and councils. Okay? Now, what I just described for you, this maybe sounds a little severe, but it's called a work righteous system, that you can do works and God will take you to heaven because of it.
Such as, the things where the Catholics used to make you pay money to let someone be released from purgatory.
An indulgence. Yeah, and these days you can take a trip to France, or you can take communion for 30 days, and then you'll get all of your sins forgiven and have a place assured in heaven. It depends on which type of Catholic you talk to. But
really?
Well, yeah, I'm afraid so. If you travel to Lourdes, it was last year, the time expired, but if you travel to Lourdes, then you could have what they call a plenary indulgence, which means all of your sins can be forgiven.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, indulgences aren't gone. That was one of the big things that they fought about at the Reformation, which happened in the 1500s.
Is this with Martin Luther?
Yeah, he was one of many fellows that basically said, no, there's a different system here. Because Martin Luther sensed something. He felt his guilt. He kept trying to be good. And he kept feeling like, I'm not being good enough, and I've got this burden of guilt, and I'm starting to really resent God because this is a lot of work, and I feel guilty all the time. And so he actually ended up hating God. And then he started reading the book of Romans, and the book said, the just shall live by faith. And he started to understand the doctrine of faith alone, by grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone, which teaches that if a man or a woman will agree with God that they're a very vile, wretched sinner who is worthy of God's condemnation in hell, if you'll come to that agreement with God and say he's sorry to God, in other words, repent, turn from his sins, apologize, say I'm sorry with no defense, and put his trust in Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus preached in Mark 1:15. He came declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So repent and believe in Jesus. And the Bible teaches that if you do that, you surrender to God, he will save you, forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future, because of the work that he did to rescue you. See, if Jesus had just come to this earth and died, you could have your sins, you could be considered not guilty. But Jesus came and lived as a man for 30-some years, keeping all the laws you've broken, fulfilling all the laws, keeping all righteousness, so that if you'll repent and trust him, you'll not just be seen as not guilty. God will see you as righteous. He will actually look at you because of what Jesus did and go, he is my beloved child because of what Jesus did. All sins forgiven. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. No works, no purgatory. In fact, our works have earned us death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. By grace, you can be saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. Here's the difference. If you say that you work your way to heaven, and you do, somehow, in any way, shape, or form, you can get there and tell everybody what a good person you were and how you deserved heaven. The Bible says you've deserved hell, but Jesus has earned heaven for you, and that way he gets all of the credit for rescuing a wretched sinner like you and me, so that he can get all the praise. We don't get it. He gets all the praise for saving us. That's the good news of the gospel. One is work righteous, the other one is a grace-based system. Complete forgiveness or sort of forgiveness and works. That's the difference between Catholicism and what I think is biblical Christianity.
Okay.
Make sense?
It does.
Here's what I would beg you to wrestle with, all right? Read the Bible. Don't trust me. I'm a complete stranger. I could be in a cult for all you know. I might be here to like beat you up, tase you, and take your money.
Yeah, I know that.
All right? I'm trying to convince you this is what the Bible teaches. So read your Bible and see if what I'm saying is true. Read the book of Romans. Have you ever looked at that
Old
book?
Testament.
It's a New Testament book.
New Testament.
Yeah, Paul wrote it. It's the most important letter ever written.
Okay,
this is Paul writing to Christians in Rome. And he lays it out this way in Romans chapter 1. We've broken God's laws. We've lived for ourselves. We hate God. We're at war with God. We want to live for ourselves and do what we want. We want to live by the flesh. And for that, he condemns us because we're lawbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
But he's rich in mercy. This is a big court case. We're guilty before God. Jesus steps into the courtroom and says, Judge, set him free. And the judge says, wait a second. He's got a fine to pay. And Jesus says, I paid the fine for him because of what I did. And then you can be set free, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did for you. That's what Romans 3 and 4 explains. And that if you will have faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, His goodness gets credited to your account. It's a court case, so that your court case can be dismissed. Jesus kept the laws for you and took the punishment for you, and now you can be forgiven and granted everlasting life. Read the book of Romans. It's very clear, and you'll and that's what Martin Luther, I'm not trying to make you a Lutheran, but this is what he said when he discovered the just shall live by faith. You are justified by faith alone. You are made right by faith alone. Faith doesn't save you, by the way. Jesus does. So figure out what's true. Read your Bible. Take a look through Romans and see if what I'm saying is true. Because you can trust the Bible. Don't trust me, but you can trust the Bible.
Well, it usually doesn't take very long for the real issue to come out. Some people trust their goodness. That's a vast majority of these conversations. But the gospel presses on all of that. We've got much more Witness Wednesday still to come. This is Wretched Radio. And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, production of Fortis Institute. We begin in Britain, where a new inquiry has documented one of the worst child abuse scandals in modern Western history. The 2026 Rape Gang Inquiry, led by survivor Sammy Woodhouse, estimates at least 250,000 British girls were raped, trafficked, and abused over decades, and some fear the true number nears a million. 95% of the perpetrators, the report says, were Muslim men, mostly of Pakistani heritage. And the kicker in all of this? The police knew and stayed silent for the fear of being called racist. Well, if that's the case, that's not tolerance. That's cowardice. Here at home, the Trump administration and four states are suing the nation's most powerful gender transition lobby. The Federal Trade Commission, with Texas, Iowa, Nebraska, and Alaska, says World Professional Association for Transgender Health, the group doctors cite to justify transitioning children, misled parents about the risks by bearing serious side effects and selling the procedures as suicide prevention to frighten parents into consenting and labeling nearly everything as medically necessary so insurers would pay. It's junk science, and it's finally on trial. Speaking of protecting the vulnerable, Texas prosecutors have filed what's believed to be the first case under the state's law against performing an abortion. A Montgomery County man is accused of secretly slipping abortion drugs to a pregnant woman who told him she wanted her baby. She had already even named her daughter, and as the district attorney put it, a person's a person no matter how small. Choice was never even the point for the man who took hers away. And that points to a deeper problem. A new analysis finds American fatherhood is quietly vanishing. Today's dads are more involved than ever, but the trouble is there are fewer of them. Fatherhood has become a luxury good concentrated among men with money and stability and the conviction that family is worth building. The childless ranks keep climbing, especially among the secular. And the men who most likely skipped fatherhood were the ones that were told it didn't even matter. Now to a group that built a fortune branding others as bigots. A federal indictment alleges the Southern Poverty Law Center, the self-styled anti-hate watchdog, funneled more than $1 million to a man embedded in a neo-Nazi organization. A newer indictment adds a detail you couldn't even invent. The center's own intelligence director was reportedly romantically involved with that very informant. So the outfit that made millions warning about Nazis was allegedly funding one and dating him. That's a tough reputation to try to rebuild. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the Triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Todd, this week, is out on the campus of Georgia Tech. And I want you to listen to him. And as you do, I want you to notice that as he is evangelizing these students, he's just asking questions and he's letting them answer. And see, when you let them steer the conversation, you're going to learn where they are in life. You're going to learn what they believe, and then you can actually speak to the person with specificity.
One of the reasons why we tend to get into tussles over creation and evolution when we get into that topic, when we're witnessing to somebody, is because it's not just a debate over the evidence of supposed science or archaeological digs, but it is presenting to them a very big God. A lot of people these days, they can live with an evolving God, the God who evolved things. But people get scared at the idea of the creator God. So I think sometimes when we proclaim God as the creator, the maker and sustainer who created everything by the word of his power, and he holds it all together because of his great power, I think that can be a way of exalting God and helping people understand their sinfulness. The higher we get God, the lower man becomes. That's the goal. The Ten Commandments does that very efficiently. There are other ways, but we use the law to bring about the knowledge of sin so that they see themselves in truth. Okie doke, I'm going to try to get away from this bobcat. Wow, this construction. Let me just get away from the never-ending construction, which is, again, just a perfect reminder that God is the creator. None of these buildings got here all by themselves. They had to be done by somebody. Hey, young man, while you're walking that way, could I talk to you on the radio?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Come on, keep walking. I won't slow you down. Where are you from?
Thailand.
Thailand. Wow.
Yeah, you know that?
It's right off of China, isn't it?
No.
No?
Not even close.
It's help me out there.
Near, Vietnam?
Yes.
Yeah, Vietnam and Cambodia.
You know what, I have to confess, I'm very bad with my geography there.
Oh, yeah, it's in Southeast Asia.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how is life there these days?
Not so good.
What's causing the strife?
We have political problem right now.
What about religious problems?
No, not really.
No, really?
No, we don't.
Has there been any fighting between the major religious worldviews?
Not really.
What is the predominant religion in Thailand?
Buddhism.
Buddhism. Are you a Buddhist?
Yeah.
Cool. Tell me why you're a Buddhist.
My parents.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay. But are you a practicing Buddhist?
Kind of, yeah.
Sort of? What do you do to practice it?
Well, we do meditation.
Do you do that?
Yeah,
I do. Why?
Well, it helps me a lot studying and...
Clears your brain a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Is there anything beyond, any spiritual dimension? Does it connect you to the divine?
No.
Is there a divine in Buddhism? Is there a God in Buddhism?
No.
Who is the major teacher in Buddhism?
Buddha. Mm-hmm.
And you trust him?
Yeah, right. But one of the things that he teaches us is that you don't need to believe everything that he said unless you try it first.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one thing that he teaches.
As best you can, I'm not a Buddhist, so okay. Give me your best reason why I should consider becoming a Buddhist.
Oh, okay, let me think first.
All right.
Well, I think the best reason for any person actually to be a Buddhist is... gives you happiness and kind of like self-sufficient, something like that.
Okay.
So you're not trying to live with something you don't have, something like that.
So getting rid of desires.
Yeah, right. Kind of like that. If you are a monk, you try to get rid of all those desires.
What's wrong with things? What's wrong? Like, when you bought those sandals, did you want those sandals?
Yeah, I want one.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but... let me think of it this.
Do you think that physical things, that earthly things, are innately bad?
No.
So why is it... Why would it be bad to desire food, clothing, a wife, children?
Well, I think when you have too much desire, that's when the problem occurs.
So you can have desires, just not too many.
Yeah, for normal person.
That's where suffering comes
from. Unless you're a monk.
Okay, so if I told you, I don't have too many desires, I'm pretty peaceful. I don't see a reason to switch. What would you say to me?
Yeah, I think that makes
sense. Okay?
Yeah, that's
okay. Do you know what the number one, if you will, selling point of Christianity is? Why would a Christian try to convert you to that worldview? Do you know?
Well, honestly, I don't.
Oh, that's interesting. That's honest. Yeah. That's okay. Have you ever heard the term the gospel?
No.
You've never heard that term?
No.
Really? How long have you been in the States?
2 years, around that.
And a Christian has never tried to tell you the gospel?
No.
Really?
Never met one, actually.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Well, it means good news. That there's good news. It's a good news religion, which kind of indicates that there's some bad news. The bad news is we're bad people. Mm-hmm. The bad news is that there's a creator who's perfect and we're not. And we demonstrate that every day when we lie and steal and lust, desire things that aren't ours, coveting, or we dishonored our parents. In other words, we break God's laws. That's the bad news. And because we do bad things, we lust, we maybe look at pornography or use our bodies for sex outside of marriage or get drunk or call people bad names, we are guilty people. And God, because he's perfect and just, must punish guilty people because justice is important. You and I like justice. We don't like criminals to get off of their court case. We want to see them punished because that's right. They've earned punishment. And you and I have earned punishment. You and I have deserved the wrath of God. That's the bad news. You and I are lawbreakers. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ. You've heard his name, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. That's Jesus Christ is God. He came to this earth knowing that you are a sinner who needs rescuing, who needs forgiveness. And he was beaten by men, hung on a cross. You've heard that story, perhaps?
Yeah, sure.
He did that so that your fine, the debt that you've amassed against God, can be paid. He can be the fine payer for you, the guilty criminal who can't pay his own fine. So your sins can be forgiven, and you can inherit eternal life with God. Jesus Christ, God himself, took the wrath of the Father on your behalf so that you can be forgiven and set free. If you will abandon any other religion, repent of your sins, which means to turn from them, and put your trust in his son Jesus, he will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. You won't go to nothingness, and your desires, you won't lose your desires, but your desires will change. Instead of desiring sinful things, you'll desire holy things. You'll desire good things. Instead of desiring things that are against God, you'll desire God himself. That's the good news of the gospel. So here's my question for you, my friend.
Yeah, okay.
Which system, which worldview is correct? That's the question. Because clearly, Buddhism and Christianity aren't just two different paths. They're two completely different systems. Mm-hmm. So we can't comfort ourselves by saying it really doesn't matter. All roads lead there anyway. Because they don't. They go in different directions. Mm-hmm. Christianity claims to offer forgiveness and everlasting life. Buddhism offers perhaps serenity, but it doesn't do anything to solve your sin problem and the guilty feelings that you have when you do wrong things. Christianity does. It offers forgiveness because of what Jesus did for you if you will repent and trust. That's the good news of the gospel. Now you know. Yeah. So as you go wandering on your way here today at Georgia Tech, could I challenge you to consider if what I'm telling you is true? Because if it's true, you're in big trouble right now. You're a lawbreaker like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And God will give you what you deserve, and it's a very bad thing. It's called hell.
Yeah.
But he offers forgiveness based on what Jesus did for you. If you will repent and trust him, your slate will not only be wiped clean, but you'll be credited with the righteousness, the goodness of Jesus, because he kept all the laws that you and I couldn't keep. It's just a different system. You should figure out which one is true. Because if I'm right, what I'm telling you, you're in big trouble right now. But God offers you terms of peace. So please, would you consider I'm a complete stranger. You don't know me at all. I'm just trying to share with you what the Bible teaches. Please think about it. Listen to your conscience. And if your conscience troubles you and you realize, you know what? I'm in big trouble. Think about what Jesus did for you. Apologize, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Him, and He will forgive you, and your conscience will be cleansed, and He'll change your heart, and then read a Bible. Okay?
Okay.
All right, something to ponder. My friend, thanks for the geography lesson.
Okay.
All right, goodbye, young man.
All right, don't go anywhere. We aren't done yet. Much more from Georgia Tech next on Wretched Radio. Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one, and you've probably noticed, well, the world doesn't make it easy. They say be strong, but not too strong. Lead, but you don't want to be toxic. Look, it's a lot of mixed signals, and after a while, you just stop listening to any of it. And the thing about it is, Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. Dr. Tyson is a pastor. He's also a professor at the Master's University, and he's one of our Fortis Institute fellows, and he's not interested in cultural trends. He's interested in what the Bible actually says. And if you're an ongoing monthly gospel partner of Fortis Institute, it is your support that helps make content just like this possible. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly, and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take Him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, He has no desire to break His promises. Since He is omnipotent, nothing can cause Him to break promises. Since His promises are based on His eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture calls God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because He is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out on the campus of Georgia Tech this week, and we're going to get back out right now as he continues to hold the mirror of the law up to the students.
Okay, I'm going to try to scoot over and talk to this guy. Yeah, only on university campuses. Dude's wearing flip-flops and a ski hat. He's hot, he's cold. I'm not exactly sure, but I want to talk to him. You're listening to Wretched Radio on Witness Wednesday. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I talk to you for a moment on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. I just walking. I'll follow along. All right. What are you listening to on your headset?
Right now, Newfound Glory.
What's that?
It's a band, a punk band, I'd say.
Newfound Glory. What mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It's a band name.
What does it mean?
Newfound.
It's got the name Glory. Is it religious?
No, not religious. I'd say it's just...
I really don't know.
All right. Here's why I wanted to talk to you. Okay. You're flip-flopping, and you got a ski hat on.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
The hat's comfortable. And I like to have the air on my feet.
But not on your head?
No.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. We all have personal preferences.
It's also fashionable.
Ah, for the chicks.
Of course.
There you go. Because that's a big part of going to school, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Overall, do you think this is a pretty moral campus?
I'd say so.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Compared to...
There's a lot of places you can go religious-wise if you'd like to. They keep everything pretty decent. You don't see, like, you know, inappropriate posters
all over
the place.
I've been surprised at that.
I think it's a pretty moral, pretty good campus.
Yeah. What about you? How are you morally?
I mean, I'm not too religious. I don't go to church, but I believe I have a moral standing. I just not tied to one religion at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because I always ask myself what I feel is morally right, and I do that.
Is it possible that there's a moral standard outside of yourself?
You mean like pre-written morals that we should follow, like a religion?
Well, that or wherever you get it, I'm just thinking about the criminal who would stand in front of the judge maybe and say what you just said, and that is, Judge, every day I ask myself, am I living right? Ultimately, it's not going to matter. If the judge thinks you're guilty no matter what you think.
Right. Well, I mean, there are laws that you have to obey, and...
What about moral laws, though?
Moral laws?
Nobody's looking. Stuff you can get away with, stuff where there aren't written laws about it. Do you think that there's a different set of morals in the universe?
I believe that you're going to have to... I believe in karma. So I believe if you do something wrong, morally wrong, even if no one catches you, eventually you're going to have to pay for it.
Okay, I'm always curious, going this way, when it comes to karma, who is the cosmic accountant that's making sure that people get punished?
It's not necessarily that there's some higher being, in my belief.
This way?
Like I said, I'm not really with a religion. It's mostly that almost probability. It's just a power. It's not really a being. It's just the forces of nature, kind of.
No, that sounds like God to me.
In a sense, it is. It's just, I'm not exactly atheist. I just don't know which God I'd like to call it yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Is it perhaps a more specific question, not what do I want to call God, but who is God?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And you don't know?
I'd say so.
Did you grow up in a religious home?
Yes. Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And who did they say God is?
A divine being that created the earth and all the things in it and controls all the things in it.
Uh-huh. And you don't think that's right?
I think it's right. I just didn't stick with that religion because there were some things that I was unsure about. And there were some things in other religions that I...
We're interested.
That I liked. Yeah.
What were you unsure about when it comes to being a Southern Baptist?
The creation. Me, obviously, I go to tech. I like science. I kind of feel more towards the scientific creation and evolution.
Yeah.
But can't really think of too many examples off the top of my head. Huh. Mostly it was just I saw other things in other religions that I appreciated.
Like reincarnation, karma?
Karma. Not necessarily reincarnation, but karma and just...
Well, Christianity has karma, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That God will make sure that anything that's done that's wrong will get punished. So that aspect is in Christianity, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't feel it. Like, when I talk to Christians and I go to church and things like that, I didn't feel that they believed in karma as I did. I didn't feel like their points of view of the topic agreed entirely with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a point where I'm just looking around. Probably I will end up going back to Southern Baptist just because that's my roots. And if anything, it's probably what I feel strongest with.
Okay, tell
me.
Believe it or not, you and I have a lot in common. You don't know this, but we do. I was a lot like you, many years ago, because I didn't understand something. So I'd like to ask you, tell me, what is the gospel?
The gospel? The books written by...
No, what is the gospel? The good news. The Christian gospel.
Don't believe I know.
Okay, that might be a big... What's your first name?
Casey.
Okay, Casey. It's all right. Okay, Casey, this might be helpful. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to test that, all right? How many lies have you told in your life?
A few.
Okay, so if you tell a few lies, what does that make you? If I told a few lies, you might call me a...
Liar.
Okay, how many things have you stolen in your life?
Never.
Okay. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I might have a few.
Blasphemy. Okay. How many times, we talked about girls before, how many times have you looked at a woman on campus with lust, with sexual desire?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, and we'll leave it there. We won't get into fornication. Okay. We won't get into pornography. We'll just leave it with looking with lust.
Okay.
The Bible says you're going to die, and you're going to give an account. The books will be open, so there you stand, naked before God. No attorneys, no parents, nothing. You and God. He knows every thought, every deed done in darkness, everything you should have done but didn't, all the times you had a meal and you didn't thank him. Would he find you innocent or guilty, Casey?
Well, again, that comes back to, that's the Christian God that you're speaking of. The things that you've named off that you feel are wrong does not agree with what I feel is wrong.
Again, this comes back to, it doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think? So, if the Bible is true, okay, grant me that premise. If the Bible is true, if the God of the Bible is the only God, no other options, he's it. He's the creator, he's your maker, those are his laws. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I would consider myself innocent because my beliefs are different than yours. I don't believe...
But I believe
could be more than one God. I believe there could be a Christian God. There could be, you know, Buddha. There could be multiple gods. We each may see our own God when we come to
Setting
heaven.
That aside for a moment, my premise is this. If there is only one God, and you stand before him, and he knows everything you've done, innocent or guilty...
I may be guilty of a few things. That's for him to decide.
Right.
But I do things as I feel best. Day to day, I do what I feel is right. And I don't regret a single thing I've done. If I stand in front of him, if I have done wrong in choosing who I wish to believe, and I stand in front of your God, and he deems me guilty and sends me to hell, then I can at least say I've done my best. I've done what I feel is right. Day to day, moment to moment, I've done what I feel is right, and I deserve what I get.
Okay.
And I will burn in hell, and that's what I pay. At least I can say that I made the best decision I could moment to moment.
You don't want to go to hell?
I don't want to, but if I'm doing the best I feel I can, and your God sends me to hell, what does that say about your God?
That he's just.
Okay, then I deserve to go to hell. That's what it boils down to.
Casey, what's the gospel? Tell me, what's the gospel now? This is where the good news comes in. What is it?
You mean if I do all things right, I go to heaven?
No, you haven't, so you're in big trouble already. So that's
But you're saying that's what the good news would be.
No.
If I did do everything right.
How many years did you go to church, Casey?
I went to church, went to summer Bible camp of years when I was younger.
Okay.
Didn't go to church on Sundays, no.
Okay, dude, the good news is... Jesus Christ, you've heard his name. He's God. He came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment you deserve. You deserve the wrath of the Father. Jesus took it on your behalf so that your sins can be forgiven. You've broken the law. Jesus paid your fine. And if you'll repent, apologize, put your trust in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you'll be forgiven of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. God will save you and he'll take you to heaven based on what his son did. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, I know you're thinking about stuff here. And you're going through campus and college and trying to figure these things out. All right? I can't club you over the head and make you a Christian. But at least now, if nothing else, there's some clarity about what the Christian gospel is. We're lawbreakers. Jesus died for us and demonstrated his love. You've heard the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The Christian gospel is that of good news. It does demand that you confess that all other gods are idols. They aren't true. They don't exist. There's only one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And if you'll repent and put your trust in him, you'll go to heaven. That's the Christian gospel. So as you ponder things and try to figure it out as you're on campus here, mm-hmm. now at least you're dealing with what the Bible teaches, and now you know what the options are. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, dude.
And this has been another week of Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. If this was your first experience with Witness Wednesday, there are literally hundreds of hours of witnessing encounters available for you right now on Fortis Plus. Just go to FortisPlus.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.